Neil Wilkins, and welcome to the Mindful Living Show. I'm joined today by Adrian Beale from Buckley and Beale, and we have a very interesting topic to discuss today, which is the topic of jackfruit, something that you may or may not have seen in the media of late, and it's becoming a bit of a hot property in the food market. Adrian's company, of which he's co-founder, is a UK-based importer, exporter and distributor of speciality food and drink, so he is very, very well qualified to have opinions and ideas about how best to both use jackfruit but also how to really understand the differences, because as I've done my little piece of research into jackfruit, I have found that there are many different varieties, there are many different times when you should and shouldn't encounter jackfruit, and it can be used for a whole variety of different dishes. So this is something we're going to hear a lot more about. So welcome, Adrian.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
You're very welcome. So let's have a little kind of tour, if you like, of the whole kind of concept of jackfruit. How did you first become aware of the product, I guess you could call it?
Yeah, well, jackfruit's been available in the UK for a couple of years or a number of years, but has really sort of snuck under the radar and hasn't really sort of popped up in any big way. So my first main exposure to it was at a big food trade show in the US back in what would have been January 2019, so only just over a year ago. And there was a manufacturer over there that had some really nice small pouches of a microwavable sort of snack lunchtime meal made with jackfruit. And it was one of those things, I'd heard of it, didn't really know what it was, got chatting to the producer, who then started to explain all about this fruit, where it was from, its uses. And it was just more and more bewildering to me that the largest fruit on the planet was virtually unknown in the UK. And that's really where we sort of got started and built up a relationship with them. And I started to see that there was an opportunity to bring it to the UK in a much larger capacity.
So we'll talk a little bit about the market, because obviously with the huge growth in, well, vegetarianism, but particularly veganism in kind of recent months, really, we're seeing a huge spike in growth of that as a food choice. This feels like it could be the moment for a product like this, because, you know, a huge potentially growing demand and something that is actually quite an ethical and sustainable product that is quite readily and easily sourced. If you know the right people.
Absolutely, and you hit the nail on the head. It's the right product at the right time. An awful lot of people are aware that they need to reduce meat consumption, and that can be for a number of different reasons, whether it's personal reasons, health reasons, ecological reasons, animal welfare reasons. It's in a lot of people's mindset that they need to do that. And if you've got something that's referred to as the meatiest fruit on the planet, that's a pretty good product to start with when that is the trend in the food industry at the moment. And that's not going anywhere. That's not going to be an overnight trend where you get some fad or some berry that's been found in a jungle and it's going to be the new superfood, and then 12 months later it's gone again. Jackfruit's not going to be going anywhere, as it's the largest fruit and it's the highest yielding crop on the planet. Everybody is going to be using it in all sorts of different meat replacement type meals from now going forward. You touched on sustainability. It's a very sustainable product as well. So we're really coming into the market with the right product at the right time. And that's what's exciting for us as an importer and distributor as well.
So it's interesting, actually, when we talk about this thing as a fruit. So jackfruit has an implication that this is a sweet rather than savoury product. Tell us a little bit more about kind of its uses, because as far as I know, there are kind of multiple uses based on it at certain times of its kind of life cycle.
Yeah, and a lot of people get confused over this one. So you're right in it's savoury, but you're also right in that it's sweet. If you harvest jackfruit before it gets ripe, it's often referred to as young or green jackfruit. At that point, it has no sugar. It has all its fibrous texture to it, so it has its sort of meaty quality, but it only has a very mild flavour and it's not sweet. And this is what makes it perfect for savoury dishes. and it's been used for thousands of years across India and Asia by tens of millions of people in all manner of different dishes as a staple food, and I liken it to us being familiar with the potato. So to an Indian, a jackfruit is as common and as well known as potato is to us, and its myriad of different uses. But it's very much in savoury dishes in that format. If you let jackfruit get ripe, this is later in the season, it turns yellow, it obtains its sugars, it's very sweet, and it's sort of like a cross between a sort of mango, banana and pineapple, kind of sort of exotic fruit kind of flavour. And in that format, it's used in desserts, ice creams, smoothies, you can put it in pastry, and same as any other sort of citrus or tropical fruit. So you definitely don't want to be getting the two confused. Make sure you're buying the right thing. This is one of the reasons why it's so versatile, because there's not many ingredients or fruits that can be used in a savoury and sweet capacity.
Oh, fascinating. And I think, you know, when you get that kind of versatility in one single product that then can lend itself to so many different applications, I mean, then it becomes, you know, I think this from a marketing perspective, it becomes really, really interesting, because there are so many iterations of what is in effect the same thing. Now, I know that certainly having been sort of vegetarian and vegan-ish for many, many years, I know that one of the things that I've sort of encountered sort of over those years is that a lot of the products that you can buy, say, in the supermarket, you would probably, if you looked at the ingredients, you would sort of assess them as being pretty well highly processed. So they've actually got maybe additives, maybe they've got sort of additional sort of things in terms of flavoring, and obviously you've got the whole preservative issue going on. Jackfruit, as far as I understand it, is a little bit more of a natural beast. It's something that kind of lends itself to being almost sort of delivered as it came and as it grew.
Yeah, and this is an interesting debate that you sort of touched on there, in terms of comparing it with other food items you see in the supermarket that are vegan or are vegetarian, but are also highly processed. And the sort of the debate is raging and will probably continue to rage over, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Now, if you're coming at this from, say, an animal welfare perspective, you could argue, as long as it doesn't have meat in, it's just a good thing. A lot of other people are then saying, no, but hang on, if I'm avoiding meat, I also want to do that for health reasons and for what I put in my body. Therefore, I don't necessarily want highly processed food. And a lot of these products at the moment that have launched, especially two very successful launches with two very well-known brands of burger, which I'm sure you're aware of, very heavily processed, very high in fat, high in sugar, to the extent that one of them actually contains more fat than its meat burger sort of competitor. But jackfruit, as you quite rightly point out, is a whole food. It is all natural. It's 100% natural, literally, sort of by default, and therefore to an awful lot of people a much better meat alternative than to some of these other products. But where I do give these the other burger companies credit is they've really raised the game in terms of what can be done and how you get more people to eat less meat, because you've really only got, I mean, vegans take up arguably sort of 1-2% of the population. Vegetarians obviously substantially more, but there are an awful lot of meat eaters and flexitarians out there who really don't like or don't want to eat, for all sorts of reasons, the meat alternatives that we've had for the last 5, 10, 15, 20 years. And a lot of them haven't been great. They either don't look like meat, don't taste like meat, haven't got the texture of meat. And if you're trying to persuade people to eat less meat, you've got to really give them, to a greater or lesser extent, a good alternative. And these two burgers in particular, and I think both companies will say the same thing in their marketing, they are absolutely not aiming at vegans or vegetarians. They are aiming that product squarely at the meat eater and saying, you could and should now eat this because it tastes so good that you almost won't notice the difference. So in that respect, I've got to take my hat off, because they've really proved that you can actually dramatically increase the number of people who are becoming vegan and vegetarian by offering them a really great tasting and a great texture food. Personally, I'd rather do that with a whole food natural option such as jackfruit, which is why we don't import or distribute or sell those particular burgers. But it's an interesting conversation that's taking place at the moment as to how you get meat eaters to eat less meat. And jackfruit, I prefer as being an all natural solution to that problem.
So it's quite interesting when you think about then this whole sort of versatility thing, because I guess as a chef, I guess as a sort of a food product buyer, maybe in the sort of supply chain for retail, what you're looking at here is a product that can be, I guess, adapted at various kind of points in that supply chain. So it can be adapted kind of up front as it's imported. It could be adapted by the chef in the restaurant in a particular way. It can also be adapted for kind of the retail shelves, but also I guess if you have almost like sort of raw product at home, you could be actually kind of inventing new dishes. You can be really kind of quite creative in what is also a very healthy way. So this is adding a whole new ingredient to your home chef's kind of menu, really, options.
It is, absolutely, because the young green jackfruit is very high in fiber and naturally fibrous. A bit like, I suppose, any meat, but certainly pork, which is what most people compare it to. It's really, really good at absorbing flavors of other things. So if you're then cooking at home, even if you are a complete amateur and novice in the kitchen, you can just put some jackfruit in a saucepan, pour over a jar of cooking curry sauce or barbecue sauce, heat it, stir it up, and serve that with some rice or with some bread. You are literally just heating and serving. To the more highly trained professional chef, the world is your oyster. You are working with literally a raw ingredient. And again, I'll use the potato analogy, where you can do so many different things with it because it will absorb the flavor and seasonings and sauces of any other food that you're putting with it. So you can create South American dishes, North African dishes, Mediterranean dishes, Far Eastern dishes. Doesn't matter what you're mixing it with, you can now think, it's almost like having a new meat, if you will. And you say that to a chef and they're like, oh wow, this is fantastic. I can create this, I can do this, I can do that. To restaurants, it's an absolute boon because they can take their sort of the meat half of their menu and literally swap out the meat, put jackfruit in, and you've got probably a vegan or vegetarian menu without having to do any NPD whatsoever. So in that respect, this is why a lot of chefs are now getting excited as they're starting to realize what it is. From our perspective, we're very fortunate working with the jackfruit company because the format that we're importing is a pre-cooked jackfruit in a food service pouch. It's not in a tin with any water. And when you take the water out of the equation, it increases its ability to absorb flavors exponentially. So we're very lucky in that respect that we've got a lot of businesses approaching us now that understand jackfruit and have been working with it for the last couple of years, but have been unable to sort of maybe create some of the recipes they've wanted to. They now can, and they're starting to realize the full potential of it. Because fresh jackfruit is very, very hard to get hold of and very hard to process. So that's not something you want to be rushing out to the supermarkets and buying on the off the shelves just yet.
Yeah, it's really quite exciting, this, isn't it? Because as you say, this opens up a whole new palette, if you like, for food. And if you're a meat eater or a meat cooking chef or home cook, suddenly you have this new meat product or meat equivalent product, which is very, very real. Tell us a little bit more then about this jackfruit company, because you've obviously mentioned the India connection. Obviously, this is the native sort of fruit of India, one of the native fruits of India. Tell us a little bit how the jackfruit company sort of evolved and kind of how it actually operates in India.
Yeah, that's quite interesting because there's a lot of food companies that have started in the last 5-10 years. It's always been quite trendy to start up your own food company. And a lot of people have started with something very simple like jams or chutneys, or they've jumped on the sort of bean to bar chocolate bandwagon. And a lot of them have realized very quickly that they need to have some sort of sustainability message or story behind their product. With the jackfruit company, it's been almost a sort of the polar opposite of that. They, by happy accident, have gained a story, but their original background, which was Annie, the founder of the jackfruit company, she's an ex-Harvard medical graduate, so she studied medicine. And her original idea was to travel out to India with her brother and set up a foundation where they could import and supply medicines to families that couldn't afford them. And she sort of started that process. But whilst setting that up, was looking to see sort of how these people lived, their lifestyles, saw this jackfruit product, which she had never seen before at all, never even heard of it, and was fascinated by, again, like myself, how the largest fruit on the planet is largely unknown to us Westerners, and thought, well, hang on a second, this is something that I need to show sort of friends and family back home. Long story short, she very quickly realized, I suppose a bit like the teaching someone to fish analogy, rather than just giving somebody the medicines, if she could give them an income by purchasing fruit that was otherwise going to waste, export that back to America, not only was there a business in it for her, but also she was able to provide a full income, not just some free medicines every now and again, but a full income to hundreds and now over 1,000 farming families, where they would never have had that. There would have been no opportunity for them to do any more business with this fruit, or indeed have any chance of getting an income or job full stop. So she's now got a beautiful sort of story behind her company, a fantastic sustainability message, a phenomenal welfare message, by giving over 1,000 farming families an income, just from this fruit that was otherwise going to waste, which solves numerous problems back home in the US and for us now in the UK and Europe, with coming up with meat or alternative solutions. So it's an interesting backstory.
It's a really lovely story, isn't it? Because it is ticking so many boxes. Mm. You know, the market demand, the being in the right place at the right time, something that's giving, you know, an enhanced livelihood to the people who kind of need it as well. It's just a win-win all around, isn't it, really? So from your perspective, you really see this as being, you know, a big, significant growth opportunity financially then and commercially as an organisation.
Absolutely. But it's nice to also have that message behind it as well. I've long preached that transparency in the food industry is a trend that is here to stay, because every year you get the same articles, the same interviews with the same people. What's going to be the trend for 2020 or 2021 and so on? And about 5 years ago, I gave up answering that question and have just said my default answer now is transparency. People want to know who made their food, where they made it, how they made it, where the ingredients come from, were the people paid an appropriate amount of money, and so on and so forth. And without that transparency, it's very hard, I think, for a food industry or food company to really get a consumer interested in them as a business and become a brand loyal customer. There's quite a big backlash against sort of large food corporations, and has been for some time, and I sort of see that continuing. And with social media now being literally a global phenomenon, it takes seconds for word to spread if somebody is coming up with sort of false marketing, false advertising. We saw it a couple of years ago with the supermarkets with their sort of fake farm sort of scandal. It doesn't take long to damage some reputation. And these big companies have realized they can't manufacture that. You either have a good backstory or you don't. It's either sincere or it isn't. You're either philanthropic or you're not. And companies like the Jackfruit Company and what Annie is doing, that's fantastic for us to be a very small part of that and for to help that grow. Because people ask us straight away, where do you get this product from? Who are the company? What are they doing? Are they paying their farmers properly? All sorts of different questions that you never had 10, 15 years ago. It was all about how much is it? What does it taste like? Am I going to sell it? Am I going to make money? It was purely commercial. The food industry has really turned on its head now, and it's driven by consumers wanting to know about their food. And as like you said earlier on about the highly processed food, people now know to pick up a product off the shelves, turn it over, look at the ingredients and decide for themselves there and then, yeah, that sounds healthy, it looks good, I like this story about the company, I'll buy that product, and then they put it in their basket. So it's a very interesting time for us and a fantastic company to be involved in and to help grow.
So how do people find out more? If somebody's listening to this or watching this and they think, you know, I need to engage with this, it sounds really exciting not to, how can they find out more?
Well, certainly, if they're a trade customer, we'd love to speak to you. We're a trade business. We supply in small volumes to individual restaurants or delis or sandwich shops. We also supply wholesalers and we supply large manufacturers. So you can find us at Buckley and Beale. My name's Adrian, as you said, I'm the co-owner. Don't hesitate to drop me a line. Perfectly happy for you to email me directly. That's just adrian@buckleyandbeale.com. We're also happy to provide details of the wholesalers that we supply. A lot of people in the food industry have to work with specific customers, specific suppliers. Nominate a supplier, we'll happily supply them. If you're a private individual, that can be a little bit trickier because we don't really sort of do B2C, as it's called, or sort of business to consumer trade. But we do have the pouches of jackfruit that we import available on Amazon. So people can find them on there, either type in pouched jackfruit or jackfruit in pouches, or I think they should find it fairly easily if they just type in the jackfruit company. With a little bit of luck, that should come up there as well. But they're the only people that make what is known as an ambient, so it doesn't need refrigeration while it's still in its pouch, an ambient pouch of jackfruit. Pretty much all the other jackfruit we've come across in the UK has either been frozen or in a tin. And the tin stuff is notoriously hard to work with, which is why we don't import it.
It's been a fascinating journey through the concept of jackfruit. Thank you so much for your time today, Adrian.
You're very welcome. Thanks for